Reading from Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 to 11. And you can find it on page 988. Thank you. Page 988. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Good morning, everyone. And today it's great that it is everyone, that we've got the whole church family in with us. We're having a look today at the first part of Matthew chapter 21. So as we've just heard, this is the story of Jesus entering into Jerusalem. We're a week before his crucifixion, which we'll hear more about next week. And we know it's important. It turns up in all four Gospels. So it's obviously an important story. And as we look at it together, we'll see that it's a story that points to the kind of person Jesus is. We'll see that it points to Jesus as a king, but not as a normal kind of king, a different king, one that has come to serve us. And before we do that, let's quickly pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and we ask today that it would speak to every member of your family gathered here. Amen. So we're looking at this story together, and I was reflecting this week on why we do that. Why do we have an all-age service? And because you might be thinking, this isn't the best way for adults to learn the Bible. It's not the best way for children to learn the Bible who love their children's groups. But there's real value in doing it all together. We've been seeing in 1 Timothy, which is the sermon series we've just finished, that church is a family. It's supposed to do things together. And that includes studying the word, just like hopefully you study the word at home. We want to study the word together here. So please engage in that process today. I know that's quite difficult. So if you're like me, you might be a bit more reserved. You might like an academic look at the Bible. Or you might be a bit shy, or you might just rather run around and have some fun. But let's try and do it together. And there will be a bit of audience participation to aid in that. So when I ask you to, as I will slightly later on, to think about a couple of questions, to talk about them among yourselves, please do that. And try and do it with people of different ages. It doesn't matter if you didn't come with anyone of a different age. You can just turn to someone next to you or in front or behind you. We're all one big family here, and join that group. So please get involved with that. We want to be really today practicing that study of the word together. Now, here's a question just for the children. Do you know who this is? No, that's fine. We're going to learn. It might help if you might have seen the same picture on a bit of money. Yes, we've got someone who... It is the Queen. Yes, well done. So this is the Queen. She's been ruling the UK and 14 other countries for 70 years. And here, hopefully you can see, if you're at the back, you might have to strain your eyes because of the projector light. But we've got a couple of pictures here. On the bottom right, we've got, I'll go this way, there you go. We've got a picture of the Queen on her coronation day. This is the coach that carried her on that day. And in the top left, that's what an artist has imagined this passage looked like in real life. So he's done a picture of that. And then there we go. Hopefully you can see that. I've added some things people might have been saying. And so we actually know from the Bible that what I've put on the top left picture is what people actually said, because it's in the Bible. Now, James wants to really get involved. And then at the bottom right, I've just imagined some things as well. And so what we're going to look to do now, and this is where you get your first bit of audience participation, is have a chat among ourselves for some similarities between these pictures. So see if you can spot any similarities, either between the pictures or between what people are saying. And if you want some bonus help, everything that I've noticed as a similarity also turns up in the Bible passage. So you've actually got three things that you can compare if you would like to do that. So take a minute now, talk among yourselves. What similarities can you see? If you want, children, if you want to come and look at it, there's another picture up here if you're struggling to see. Okay, sounds like we've got lots of good conversation going on there. Hopefully people coming up with lots of ideas if we come back together. Okay, maybe a few people would like to share any similarities they noticed. Adults are allowed to give answers as well as children, so everyone can get involved. Anyone want to share anything? You were all talking, so I'm really hoping someone has something to say. Yes, we've got one in the middle there. Can we... Yes. Yes, there was. People praising. Yeah, number four was riding. Can someone repeat number three nice and loud for me? Both rule. Yes. Good improvisation there. Got some good answers there. Anyone else want to share? Yes, go on. Nice and loud. Any similarities? Do you want Dad to help you? Waving? Yeah, we've got people waving. Yeah, excellent. Maybe we have one more. Pluke family? Ah, now that would be a difference. So if you hold that thought for about 5 minutes, and we'll come back to you. Yeah, there are crowds, yes. Excellent. So we've got some great answers there, some that I didn't think of, but I've circled there three that I noticed, and I think we've heard all of them. So they both ride in the procession. So we've got the Queen in her state coach. And then for Jesus, if we look at the Bible, we've got in verse 5, we see that he was riding on a donkey. And in verse 7, it tells us that they brought the donkey and the colt of the and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. And you can also see that in the picture. So both riding in. We've got crowds who have prepared the route. So we've got, for the queen, we've got people waving things about, which I think someone said. And we've also got people waving the palms about for Jesus. And they spread them on the ground. So you can see in verse 8, others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then verse 9, we've got lots of people cheering, which again we had people going, hooray for the queen, hosanna, when they saw Jesus. And the Bible tells us that happened with Jesus in verse 9. People were shouting, hosanna to the Son of David. And others were shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And hosanna in the highest heaven. Three things that the Bible tells us people were shouting for Jesus. So we can see those similarities between the queen, who we know is a ruler. And that shows us that Jesus is being treated like a ruler, which someone else also shared as one of their similarities. And he was being treated like a ruler, and the gospel writers want us to know that because it points to who he was. It's not just that he was treated like a king, but Jesus is a king. Verse 5 makes it really clear to us. It says, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. Makes it really clear that we're talking about Jesus as a king. And he's not just the king of a country. The queen is queen of lots of countries. But Jesus is king of even more than that. He's king of everything, the whole of creation, everything and everyone. So what does it mean for us that Jesus is king? Well, it means we should follow him. He's not just any king, he's the greatest king. And we're going to see in a moment that he's the best kind of king. But because he's the rightful ruler of everything, including us, each one of us, from the very smallest, who is no longer James, to the very oldest, I'm not quite sure who that is, but great to have everyone from every age with us, we should all commit to following him. And how do we know what that means? If you've ever got any questions, have a look in the Bible. And if you don't read it for yourself yet, if you're a small person, ask your parents to read it to you. Or if you just don't like reading, you can listen to it too. But have a look at the Bible and see what Jesus wants us to do. And follow that, because he is the rightful king. And we're now going to have a little break and a song on that topic. So this is a chance to get up, move around a bit. I'm going to move away from a microphone. So get up, we're going to sing a song, Jesus is the King.
Let's stand.
Thank you to all the musicians for that. And it's great to express in song what we're hearing in the Bible. Great reminder to all of us that Jesus is the king, he is the ruler, he is over each one of us. Now we're going to have a look at what kind of king Jesus is. So let's have our pictures back. And this time, as we've already had a little spoiler, we're going to look at some differences. So once again, have a look, talk about the differences there. And if you want to, have a chat about what those differences might mean. but I'm going to ask you in a minute to share some of the differences you've spotted. Okay, sounds like we're having some more great discussion there. We come back together. Children, make sure you find your families again. Great. So this time we're having a look at differences. And firstly, would the Plukes like to remind us of the difference that they spotted before? Yes. So that's that Jesus is ultimately on the way to the cross here, whilst the Queen is on the way to her coronation. Now, what other differences did people spot? Yeah, Mike? Yeah, thanks, Mike. That's great. So reminding us that the Queen, although she rules a big realm with lots of countries, Jesus rules even more. He rules everything in creation. Anyone else? Yes, go ahead. Yes, and probably the crowd's reaction was spontaneous to it. So people knew about the Queen's coronation. People responded just as it happened to Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Any more? Have we got one more? Yep. Yeah, so everyone knew that the Queen was the Queen as the coronation was happening, but not everybody recognized that Jesus is the King, or even who Jesus was when he was riding into Jerusalem. Thank you, everyone, for those thoughts, and thank you, everyone, even if you didn't contribute, for discussing those things together. It was great discussion, and it's great to have that going in the church family. So we're going to have here, there's two differences that I spotted in the pictures. So one is what they're riding. So we've got the Queen is in a big fancy coach. You can go and see it if you want. And in one of the National Museums, it's huge, it's gold, it's very elaborate, looks very, very nice. Jesus was riding on a donkey. And it's not just that he was on a horse, not in a comfy coach, but it's that he was on a low-status animal. He wasn't on a big horse, which would have had lots of status. He definitely wasn't in a chariot, which is sort of the Roman equivalent to the coach. He was deliberately low-status, and he chose that, and indeed it was foretold that that is what he would choose to ride on hundreds of years earlier. And this points to Jesus being humble. Now, humble means someone who doesn't make a big deal of themselves, and they behave like they're not very important, even if actually they are quite important. Jesus is humble. He makes himself lower than his people, not higher than his people. And that's because Jesus has come to serve us, and he's looking to underline that by being on a low animal. And some people might be reminded of John 13, where Jesus washes his disciples' feet later in the week between entering Jerusalem and his crucifixion, again making that point that he's come to serve. As someone else has already pointed out, we've got a difference in what people are saying. Some people don't seem to know who Jesus is. They're asking, who is this? And some people do think they know. They respond, this is Jesus, the prophet. And we see that in verse 11. But even then, do they really understand who this is? That this is the Lord, this is the King, this is the Messiah? Because they expected that person, because he was a ruler, to have all sorts of ceremony, like the Queen did on her coronation, when there was loads of ceremony and celebration. But instead, Jesus has come quietly. He's come without earthly power. He has a lot of heavenly power, but he's come without earthly power. No soldiers lining the route, no big proclamations from the steeple tops of who he is. Very humble and here to serve again. And then lastly, it was a bit of a cheat for me because it's not on the picture, but someone got it anyway. Where are they going? The Queen, I believe, is a wonderful monarch, and I think we're blessed as a country to have her. She promised when she was 21 to serve the nations that she would rule. And she's tried to follow Jesus' example in that. But Jesus is even better than a great earthly ruler. He's even better than the best kind of earthly ruler, because he fully sacrificed himself in his death. He came to die to make that ultimate sacrifice. And while the Queen was crowned and celebrated through all the land, Jesus literally gave his life a week after this scene for people who rejected him. And how amazing is that? That he would want to make that sacrifice for us. What love, what service is he showing as our king? So what does that mean for us? Well, I think a couple of things. If we are in a position of leadership, we can try to follow Jesus' example. Whether that's at home because you're a parent or a big brother or a big sister, whether that's at work, or whether that's at school. Maybe as Charlie was, so you have to try and follow Jesus' example of serving your little sister. Yeah, that's what that means. So, as Charlie was saying, it might also be at school, if you're an older kid, when you're trying to set an example and lead the younger children by serving them. It also makes a difference when we're facing challenging times. We can have confidence because the person who is king of the universe is a king who serves us. He's not a king who serves his own ends. He's a king who serves his people. And that can give us confidence when things are difficult, even when they're really difficult. But most of all, what I think we should take from this is simple amazement. Let's just reflect on Jesus came into Jerusalem knowing what would happen, knowing he would give his life for people who would reject him. He had come down from heaven to achieve that purpose. How wonderful is it that that is what our God is like? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that in him, as Lord, we have a King who is a wonderful King, who rules us all, and who we should follow, and please help us to do that, but who rules us seeking to serve us, as he did in his death on the cross. Amen.